Grace, peace, and mercy from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. Joel, that was last week's sermon, okay? Okay. Today, we begin with an ending. The ending of Paul's second letter to his church in Corinth. And it goes like this. It's from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. He goes like this. Finally, brothers, rejoice. Aim for restoration. Comfort one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. It's interesting that Paul tells his congregants in Corinth to greet one another with a holy kiss. It's a rather upbeat kind of message that he signs off in this letter. It might lead you to think that Paul had a very wonderful congregation, one of his most successful ones. But perhaps nothing could be further from the truth. There were a lot of difficulties in this particular congregation. There were divisions. There were personality cults and cliques. There were disagreements with different members, so much so that some of them were actually taking others to court and suing them. And there was at least one very gross case of immorality that Paul had to deal with in this congregation. There were people who were drunks. There were those who were adulterers. There were a good number of them, when it came to the Lord's Supper, abused the Lord's Supper. And there were a host of other minor as well as major problems that came up in this little church. On top of it was the fact that some people were actually taking pride in that some of the members of this congregation were okay to practice immoral things. The Corinthian church was a prime example of a church that was reaching out to pagans. That's right. But it was having difficulty managing all the issues that come when you do have a church that is bound up into the culture. Converting them into a Christian lifestyle, well, that's a hard thing. I guess you could say Paul was dealing with Christians who had rough edges. Paul's task and our task is to share the greatness of God's desire, really, to people who have rough edges. Well, this is Trinity Sunday. And this day has been celebrated since the 10th century. And on this day, across the nation, across the world, preachers are going to endless machinations in order to explain the nature of the Holy Trinity. Let me begin by saying that the doctrine of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, does not attempt to explain God. It only explains a little bit about God, how God relates to us. It's like trying to describe an iceberg by telling you all about the tip of the iceberg that is what you can see. And so we Christians affirm the Trinity, not as an explanation of God in totality, but simply as a way that we describe God as we know Him. And so we hear the Holy Trinity in Jesus' parting words to his disciples. You heard it in Matthew 28. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Early Christians soon discovered that they could not speak about God without speaking about the three ways in which God related to us. The way God reveals himself to us. It means, really, that there's only one God, but he shows himself in different ways. And so we're going to take a look at it this morning. First, we recognize God as the Father. He is our creator and the one who sustains us. And second, we affirm that we have a belief in Jesus, his Son. Jesus is fully God. He took on human form and he came and he lived among us. He was the one who went to the cross in order to pay the price for our salvation. And we who believe in him have forgiveness of sins and that hope of eternal life. This is Jesus. But to say that Jesus was fully human is true. And to say that he was fully divine is also true. But how do you explain that? You really can't. We struggle. Only God can wrap his mind around that one. And we also affirm that God is Holy Spirit. We say that in our creeds. We believe in the Holy Spirit. Put another way, the Holy Spirit is how we become intimate with God. God gives us that gift of faith. This is what the Holy Spirit brings to our life. You heard the first reading today from the book of Genesis. Well, in the book of Genesis, the word translated as God is what we call Elohim in Hebrew, a plural word for God. And did you notice in verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens over the livestock and all over the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps over the earth. So God created him in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. We don't have a complete explanation about how God can do all of that. But we are affirming that God has shown himself to be Holy Spirit to us, just like he was Holy Spirit when he moved over the face of the waters at creation. I find it's interesting that God wants us to copy or to imitate the intimacy in the way we relate to him and the way we relate to people. You see, simply offering information about God doesn't really cut it. God is in the business of relating to people, to loving you and me, to loving us, to living with a unique kind of harmony, a kind of harmony that he enjoys himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It goes on. And he invites us into this wonderful Godhead community. He also invites us to join in loving one another, trying to imitate that sense of community and loving. God is not alone, even with himself. There's a harmony. There's an expression of love continually pouring out of him, Son, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That does not fully define who God is. But it does express that kind of community that God desires to bring here on earth. It's kind of sad in a way that a lot of churches in America today don't have a lot of people with rough edges. I mean that because in one special, wonderful kind of way, Paul, when he addressed that church in Corinth, he was there converting people who were very far away from God. Are we a people who don't have rough edges? Is that the case? Or are we trying to insulate ourselves with the people around us? We don't want that either. Paul knew that recently converted Christians were going to be troublesome and have troublesome kinds of problems. He was always putting out fires, answering questions about marriage and celibacy, food offered to idols, drinking and diet. Talk about gender issues. Life in the church has never been dull. God gave thanks. Paul gave thanks for his church. Why would Paul thank God for that particular church? Because his church was doing what they were supposed to do. They were reaching real people with real problems, with real hurts, with real misunderstandings. And Jesus was also reminding us to reach out to people who have rough edges. Jesus said in Luke chapter 5, verse 31 and 2, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Well, how about us? Is our church what they call a museum of saints? Or is it a hospital for sinners? I will choose for the latter. The church at Corinth was a dysfunctional church with many dysfunctional Christians. Why should we be any different? It is with this in mind as we listen to Paul's words once again. "Finally, brothers, rejoice. Aim for restoration, comfort one another, agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." They said of the early believers, "See how they love one another." We need to be intentional about our love, how we love God, and how we love one another. This is why Paul was so enthusiastic about his wonderful, dysfunctional little church. Imperfect as it was, they remembered to love God, and they were able to love one another, people with rough edges. Today, we thank God for relationships. We thank God for that wonderful relationship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then we thank God for our relationships. As we leave here today, I will hope that you could take an assignment with you to go and be thankful for a relationship that God has given to you. To say to somebody that you do in fact appreciate them. And let us remember our mission: to love people with rough edges and to share the love of Jesus with them. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus today and always. Amen.